Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
Tonight I want us to spend a little bit of time in a consideration of an individual that is identified in both the Old and New Testament Scripture, one that probably we do not talk about enough. And what we find in regard to what God tells us about this individual is that he is our opponent. This individual does not want to see any of us make it to heaven. This individual has worked continually throughout history against mankind and against our God to take people off course from a relationship with our God. And my friends, today I tell you that he continues to do likewise. That individual is Satan. And as we begin with our lesson tonight, I want to ask a question, and that is Satan real? As we think about whether or not he is real, there are individuals in the world who are atheists, who do not believe in God, also agnostics, who question whether or not God exists. These individuals, in their denial of our God, also deny the existence of Satan. They do not believe that he is real, but rather that he is an imaginary figure that has been created by people of old to scare people from doing bad things and to frighten individuals into believing in an eternal God. They present him as a mythical figure. Yet at the same time, you and I know is that that is not true. It's said concerning those who do not believe in God is that they are fools. And I want to tell you tonight that I truly believe that not only is it foolish not to believe in our God, my friends, it is equally foolish not to believe in the devil. To argue him away is to allow him to have that space in your life to wherein that he has already drawn an individual away from the very presence of God and a relationship with our God. What does God tell us in regard to the devil? God affirms on a number of occasions and in a number of ways is that he is real. We learn concerning his existence. We understand concerning the fact that he is real from Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through verse 10. A passage that we dwelt on this morning to speak about Adam and Eve and how that Satan, being very cunning, came to Eve and not only drew her away from God, but also worked through Adam and Eve to see both of these individuals fall into transgression, to sin against our God. My friends, not only do we understand from the onset, after man has been created, that Satan is real, Jesus himself, God in the flesh, our Lord and Savior, whenever he was here upon the face of this earth, whenever he was about to begin his personal ministry, we understand from the context of what is said in Matthew's account, in Matthew chapter 3, verses 15 through verse 17, he is baptized to fulfill all righteousness, and immediately, according to what the context begins with in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through verse 10, Jesus is led away into the pinnacle of the temple there at Jerusalem, and he was tempted on three different occasions or in three different ways. Incidentally, also are in the three ways of which we are tempted today. And who was the tempter there? It was Satan. Satan was in the presence of our Lord there in the garden or there in the temple. And as a result of that, my friends, God is showing us is that certainly Satan is real. And today I tell you, not only is he real, he is alive. He was alive in the days of Adam and Eve. He was alive, was he not? In the days of Job. Job knew full well, not only concerning the existence of Satan, but he understood that Satan was very much alive in his day and that he was facing the things that he was facing. Personally, as well as with his family and all of his servants and such, all of those things that befell upon him was because of the fact that Satan was alive and working against him in his relationship with our God. And what do we learn from this point on is that he is not only real and alive, but my friends, is that he is very dangerous. With regard to this matter, the Bible identifies for us is that Satan operates in a very sly way to deceive us. How so? As Ronnie read for our understanding just a few moments ago from Paul's writings to the saints at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14. He says concerning those, and this is in the context, concerning those who are false preachers and teachers, is that they present themselves as people of righteousness. And he also says that why wouldn't they be able to do so? Because in truth, they're followers of the devil who presents himself as an angel of light. My friends, I tell you that I truly believe that not only was that the case in the days of the first century church at Corinth, I also believe that that is the way in which Satan works today. He transforms himself. He changes himself out to appear to be all right. In fact, sometimes to appear to be a godly person. But at the same time, I want us to understand it is certainly as Jesus presents in John chapter 8 and verse 44, he is a liar and he is a father of lies. In part, that means because he is the first one to lie, he lied to Eve there in the garden. And he, as he practiced with Eve, he continues to do today. He comes to us in very sly ways, hoping to draw us away from our God. But my friends, also I want us to understand, as Paul had shared with the saints at Corinth earlier on in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, he says that we are not ignorant of his devices. And in that context, who is he speaking about? He's speaking about Satan. In this context, what he's saying is that whenever the church withdraws from somebody and that individual repents, is that we are to receive them back lest Satan comes in and tempts that individual. And therefore, we know that that's possible for him to do so because we are not ignorant to the devices that he has used upon us or that he will use upon others. My friends, God shows us in a number of different ways, on a number of different occasions, that Satan is our opponent, that we are at war with him. In fact, he expresses this as he wrote to those at Ephesus in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through verse 17, showing that we are at war with principalities and powers much higher than those who walk upon the face of this earth. And admittedly, I stand before you tonight and I say that I believe that a lot of those are controlled by Satan, meaning those powers that are upon the face of this earth. A lot of those who are political figures and people out here in the world who have renowned names and fame and status. Certainly, I believe that Satan is working through them if they are opponents of God. But above all, what God warns us of is that we need to be aware of this individual and to understand the destruction that he strives to bring within our lives. And that we need to be people who stand firmly upon the Word of God and allow it to be the sword to where that we are able to defeat the devil and to be able to stand firm in our relationship with our God. My friends, not only does God show us in regard to the fact that Satan is real, he shows us the devil in motion. What does the devil do? He persuades man to perform all sorts of unethical practices in life. I said a moment ago, as Jesus exclaimed in John chapter 8 and verse 44, that Satan is a liar and the father of lies. And in that context also, you will learn is that Jesus says, is that those who go after him, those who follow after him, that the devil is their father. And therefore, because he is their father, they were practicing the same things that he was practicing. And the same would be true today, is that if we allow the devil to have control of our lives, if we allow ourselves to be taken over by the devil, then as he is a liar, we would find ourselves engaging in lies, things that are not true, certainly contrary to what God expects us to do. But my friends, not only does he persuade people to lie, I believe that he also encourages individuals to cheat. And I believe that if individuals cheat people out of first one thing and then another, is that it becomes a part of their life to where that at some point it no longer troubles them. I do believe that whenever a person cheats someone initially is that it troubles them. Why would I say that? Because I believe that a conscience is innate, that it is God-given. And whenever we know to do right, but yet at the same time we do wrong, is that to begin with, it bothers us. But yet at the same time, whenever an individual engages in it time after time after time after time, it comes to the point to where it no longer troubles them. In fact, I want to express that that is certainly where Israel got, was it not? Whenever they, the prophet said in the Old Testament, is that they had gotten to a point where they no longer blushed. And I believe that you and I, if we're not careful, is that Satan can lead us down that same path to where that we would no longer have a conscience, that we'd be bothered by lying and cheating and undermining people, because that's one area that Satan was working in too. Whenever it comes to unethical practices, is that he wants to undermine those of authority. He does that in the home. So many of our homes suffer today. And whenever I say so many of our homes, I don't believe that that's the case here tonight within the confines of this auditorium. But I trust the people who are watching us on television or those who are listening on radio, is that you may be able to relate with what it is that I'm saying. Your home is in shambles. And why is that? In part, I want you to go back and I want you to examine the authority that God put into the home, meaning that your husband, if you're dealing with a wife and children, if you're dealing with children, your father, to look and to say, have we really and truly submitted ourselves to the authority, the father figure, the husband, as what God would have us to do. And my friends, not only do I believe that that is a problem in a lot of homes, I believe that that is also the problem that we have in the world. Take into consideration where we are today, even with our president and his cabinet and other areas of government, is that people are reporting things false or fake, it's oftentimes reported. And I'm not going to get into whether or not this politics is right or this politician is correct and that one's wrong. But I do believe that we are seeing a trend that has been in place for a long time and only getting worse, where that Satan is using others to undermine authority in civil government and such. And it even comes into the church, does it not? Is that people question eldership and the leadership. And as an eldership, we need to make sure that we do not give reason for people to question, that we are striving, as Ronnie prayed a minute ago, that we're doing everything that we can to lead the church to the glory, praise, and honor of our God's name. And whenever a church is being led by such, sadly sometimes still there are individuals who come in and try to undermine what it is that these godly men are trying to do with the church and for the glory of our God. But my friends, also, I believe that we live in a world today where that as Satan worked then, he still does today, to convince people that immoral behavior is okay. In the first century, people were engaging in all sorts of ungodly things. Fleshly temptations were becoming a way of life where that they were giving into thinking about lustful matters. Whenever it came to men thinking about women, or even on top of that, an abominable thing where that men were thinking about men and women thinking about women. And I look at those things and study those matters as they're given from the Old Testament Scripture as well as in the New Testament Scripture. And whenever I study concerning those things, especially as a young boy, I remember thinking to myself, that doesn't sound right. Oh, why would somebody think about this? Or why would somebody act in this way or that way? The older I've gotten, the more I've come to understand is that some things never change. Those immoral acts and thoughts that people had in their lives back years and years ago. Whenever it comes to adulterous relationships, and people are saying that it's just common now and that we need to accept that. Whenever it comes to individuals, a man and woman having a sexual relationship before marriage, we're seeing in our culture today is that it's okay. It's normal that's to be expected. Whenever it comes to same-sex relationships, we're being told God created them that way. Like figure, I believe that the devil encourages all sorts of idle talk and ill treatment of others. With this matter, idle talk is where the people would engage in gossip, where the people would participate in backbiting. And in fact, the Bible tells us in the New Testament Scripture that individuals who do those things is that they bite and devour one another. And I want us to understand that where that is said there is that it's said in the context of the church of Christians, is that whenever we would speak illy, whenever we would come against one another, in a way that would be negative, condescending, and undeserving, God shows us is that that constitutes sin before Him. and that those individuals would not be able to enter into heaven's eternal reward. But my friends, let me take that also in another direction, is that if we live in this world and we allow ourselves to engage in the things of this world, the sinful things that this world has to offer, from a way in which we speak and the things that we do, the way that we treat people, my friends, we're no different than the world. The world is lost. The Bible says that in a number of times. And if these individuals are lost and we're acting just like them, engaging in things such as foul language, cursing, if we're engaging in things such as dirty jokes, and somebody says, well, I don't tell a dirty joke, but I listen to one from time to time. Let me tell you tonight that I don't think that there's much difference between the two. I believe that whenever we give our ears over to those type of things, we've given our ear over to the devil. And therefore, whenever those things go in, my friends, what's it going to produce? It's going to also produce other ungodly things in the future. God wants us to understand that Satan encourages all sorts of idle talk and ill treatment. And we need to stand clear of that. Why? Because the devil operates to destroy and to detain souls in eternal hell. He wants so much. He sees the relationship that we have with God. He has the world. And I don't believe that he's given up on the world either. I believe that he's constantly engaged with the world, trying to keep his grips on them. But we are out of his grips as Christians. And yet at the same time, I see that he's constantly coming after us, after you, after me. And the reason that I know that he's after you is because he's also after me. I see those things in my life. I hear the way that he tries to convince me of this or that, or the things that he tries to show me. And I know that the Bible says that what he does for one, he also does for the other. Satan comes after each and every one of us to grab us, to pull us away from God, so that he's able to detain us, to keep us in his grips, to lead us in that direction throughout life. Why would he want to do so? Because he does not want us to go to heaven. He wants us to go to hell. As Satan is real, also, my friends, I tell you tonight, and I'm not going to preach long on this end of it, and that is that hell is also real. Heaven is real and it is eternal, and everyone's ready to accept that. But a lot of people aren't willing to accept that hell is real and that it is eternal. Aiones, without end, is a Greek term. With this matter, my friends, God wants you and me to constantly understand the work of the devil. He tells believers that compromise is acceptable. And I have in quotation believers because that's where most of the religious world is today. All of the denominational world, they're believers, but yet at the same time, they are where they are from a theological standpoint, from matters of doctrine, matters pertaining to salvation that do not align with Scripture. Satan has convinced them is that it's okay to compromise. My friends, what bothers me more is what we see in the church today. Is that a lot of times we're finding preachers, we're finding leaderships, and we're finding members who are also like those that we see in the denominational world. They're willing to compromise. Why? The bottom line is because Satan's got a hold in their life, but then also it's because they don't want this way or they don't want that way. They want to have their cake and eat it too, I believe is an expression that we use. They want to be able to have a relationship with God, but at the same time, run in whatever direction they want to run in. My friends, God shows us is that to do so would be to compromise, and that is not acceptable with our God. John chapter 8 and verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6 says that we are to learn not to think or to go beyond that which is written, and that which is written refers to God's commandments that are given in Scripture. And therefore, compromise is an area that we cannot go in and be pleasing unto our God. In like figure, I believe that Satan tells people that it's okay to put their interest first. You know, the Bible certainly wants us to recognize the fact that individually, we've got to put ourselves first over our family, over others and come to God. We must put ourselves first to make sure that I'm right with God if I ever want to be able to bring others to the Lord. But beyond that, God also has a lot to say in reference to the fact that we are to think about everybody else. I'm supposed to constantly be thinking about you, and you're to always be thinking about me and each other. That's the way that it's supposed to be. And also, the Bible says, is that we're to be thinking about others on the outside in the world. We're to be thinking about their soul and do everything that we can in thinking about them to lead them to Jesus before they would have to stand in the presence of our God. You see, whenever it comes to our relationship with God, we are to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then second, and in line with that, necessitates, it is most important that we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then God will take care of us as long as we are doing what He commands us to do for Him. Yet there's another thing that I want us to think about tonight. And my friends, that is that Satan, the devil, tells members that living worldly isn't detrimental. I was just speaking with one of my sisters tonight before we started our services. And with regard to the matter, we were talking about an age where that the women were expected to wear dresses and slacks were out. And in that, she was asking my views on that. Is it okay to wear slacks now versus wearing a dress? And I do believe that it is. Remember the lesson this morning in our class about culture and how that culture factors in? And I do believe whenever it comes to the dress versus the slacks, is that culture needs to be factored into the equation today. What the dress meant years ago, it no longer means. And therefore, as long as we dress, and get this, in a modest manner, in a manner that would praise God, that would glorify Him before the world, then certainly it would be suitable. But I think that we're living in an age today where that sadly people are pushing the limits. And I believe that they've stepped over the limits in so many different areas whenever it comes to living like the world. And you know, the devil wants us to say, well, brother or sister so-and-so does it. I saw somebody from the church down in Florida doing this or saying that. And my friends, we're not going to be judged by what somebody else says is okay. We're not going to be judged by what somebody else does. We're going to be judged by what the Bible says is okay. And we're going to be judged by what it is that we do as to whether or not we have personally complied with the commandments of God. The devil wants us to believe that it's not detrimental to the soul. But God says ultimately it will be. And therefore, we need to do everything that we can to know the Word of God and the standards of God and to make those applications each and every day to our lives. The bottom line that I want us to think about tonight in regard to the work of the devil is that he tells anyone willing to listen that life on this earth is it. I remember hearing Brother Bob Stapleton preach years ago with respect to what an atheist, I believe that he had spoken with at one point in his life, had shared with him about his thoughts about man's existence upon the face of this earth. Brother Stapleton said that whenever they were in conversation with one another, he asked the man, he said, "What do you believe happens at the point of death?" And the man's response was this: "I believe that man is like the dog Rover. When he's dead all over." My friends, he's dead whenever death comes upon him, but he's not dead all over. The Scripture identifies for us as that the soul that is living within us, that is very much alive within us today and a part of us today, will live on eternally. Whenever the body returns to the ground from whence it came, the Scripture tells us in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 32, is that immediately the spirit, the soul, departs from the body. Christians are met by angels and carried into Abraham's bosom. Even the lost, they're carried into, to some degree or fashion, into the eternal realm where there's punishment. The saved are carried into the paradise where that they are receiving comfort. And even though Satan says that this earth is it, God says it's not. He knows it's not. The devil knows it's not. Somebody says, well, what's he doing? He's doing the same thing that he does to us every single day. He's lying. Because he wants you to be as miserable as he is. And he wants your soul to be eternally in hell with him. God wants us to be in heaven. He wants us to understand the reality of the devil. He wants us to understand the motivations of the devil to pull us away from God, and also the various works that he does every single day to jeopardize our relationship with our Savior. If you're here tonight and the devil has control of your life, if you're not a Christian, my friends, you can become a Christian tonight and have your sins forgiven. You can break that hold that Satan has on you whenever you obey Christ in baptism. But understand, also God expects you to be risen to walk in newness of life, to change your life, to live no longer for yourself, to no longer let Satan have control, but rather to give God your life from this moment forward. Maybe that we have members here who are errant in some way. Also, you can return to God tonight. We will pray with you and for you if you respond. If you're subject to this call, his invitation, please come this very hour.